Good morning. What day is it? It's Wednesday. It's 7 o'clock straight up. It's the 24th, maybe. Yes, today's 24th. Of July 2019. Scattered much? No, not me. Wow, that was hot. It's 64 degrees this morning. It's the ambient is really quite comfortable as long as you're not in the sun and exerting yourself, which I was for about the last half hour. The last 10 minutes. Figuring 20 minutes a mile. And that last bit was a half a mile. So my brain is having trouble. I still didn't mention that. It's probably obvious. Finding and keeping focus on things that matter, as opposed to things that I think are fun. There's probably a reason for that. Here comes a guy on his bicycle with his dog again. That's a happy dog. He's just trotting along. Bicycle's moving at a good clip. The dog is just... So this morning on the walking meditation, I focused real hard on trying to stay in the moment. So I also tried to put the metronome up to 125 beats a minute, up from 120, and I soon found myself lagging. It wasn't a sustainable pace. And it's astonishing to me that 5 beats... more out of 120 was too much for me to maintain. So I knocked it back to 120, and that's where we are now. I'm still doing 3.5 miles per hour on the treadmill. So 34 minutes and a little bit for the 2 miles. Today's 24th, tomorrow's 25th. If I do both walks today, both walks tomorrow, that'll be 100 miles. I'm gonna sneeze. Excuse me. I'll try to duck that down in the tape, in the audio. That'll be 100 miles. Again. It'll be 10,000 calories. Which is pretty staggering. Four hundred calories against a 2,000 calorie day is that's 20%. So it's not any wonder that I am knocking down the weight just a little bit every day. Maybe a couple tenths of a pound. I am eating very consciously. A lot of protein, a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables, almost completely focused on whole grains. snacking on olives. A, because I love olives. B, because they're good for me. Relatively speaking, three olives are better for me than one cookie. Five olives are better for me than one cookie. So it's definitely top of mind. It's what I'm really trying to do is establish a new baseline of behavior so that I don't reach some plateau and say, okay, I'm there now, and then bail out. I suspect this winter I'm going to spend a lot of time on the treadmill. Doing the morning walk indoors because of the climate, because of the weather. Yeah, my nose is running off my face. But having that 400 calorie buffer every day makes a big difference in terms of comfort, in terms of quality of life. Yeah, it's 80 minutes out of my day. It's an hour and a half that I'm not doing other things that I might find more enjoyable. But last night, I made yogurt yesterday and it wasn't quite ready. And I grilled a steak last night and I wanted ice cream as dessert. So I had some ice cream. And yeah, it was probably 200 calories, but I burned 400 yesterday walking. So that buffer works against those kinds of, okay, I'm going to give myself a treat. I'm going to do this thing that's outside of the norm. And because I have that 400 calorie buffer, I didn't have to worry about taking on an extra 200, 250 calories with a dish of ice cream. And the thing of it was, you know, There's an expectation theory of motivation that goes alongside the Maslow's drives theory, and that you're motivated to do something based on your experience and what you expect to get out of doing it. So from a business standpoint, the expectation theory, if you expect to enjoy the reward of doing something for, like, in your job, in your work, like you're going to work Saturday overtime, which is a pain in the butt, but there's something you want to buy with the money. And so you go and you do the thing, but on the way home you have a flat tire. And the cost of repairing the tire is just a little bit more than what you earned for going in to begin with. So your expectation was that you were going to be able to spend that money on something you enjoy. And unfortunately, it got siphoned off by something you didn't anticipate but couldn't avoid. So the next time it comes time to work on a Saturday, expectation theory says you're going to be a little less inclined to go ahead and work that Saturday, knowing that it comes with an extra risk over and above actually doing it. So looking at expectation theory and ice cream, it wasn't quite as good as I thought it was going to be. Get ready, say it with me. Monk post. So I'm going to be less inclined to do that again. I'm going to still be inclined to do that again, but perhaps just a little bit less. Because I built it up. It was like, oh, this is going to be wonderful. And it was okay. Now, the difference between okay and wonderful probably sounds like a pretty small amount, and it is. But over time, expectation theory says, my desire to eat that cookie, or a desire to eat that ice cream, is going to be reduced. And I suppose if I apply the same theory to writing, the truth is, I'm not, for some reason, I'm not able to return to, how did it make you feel when you did it for fun? I don't always return to that feeling of, yes, this feels great. I love when the story comes together. I love when the words go on the page. I love when I can find the story and follow it and be engaged in it. And a story that I am writing in words that are satisfying to me. And I wonder why that is. Expectation theory would explain it as saying, I'm not enjoying it as much as I thought I would. And so it's harder and harder for me. The other side of that is that I have to sort of temper this. Because it's not just how... It's not, the only factor isn't just my expectation theory of motivation. It's not just the drive theory of motivation. It's not just the actual motivation. It is the motivation, but the things that are chipping away at it. I mean, one of the things that cuts down my enjoyment is that people, it's a lot harder to write a good story. And I'm never sure if I'm doing it. I just have to trust my process and do it. And that's something that's happened all the time. Part of it is this story Cape Grace has been a thorn in my side. And I can't put it down. And I can't seem to get involved in it enough to actually finish it. Now, Novelorama this weekend it may turn out to be the right approach. I mentioned it, I think, yesterday. Novelorama is a bunch of us trying to write 25,000 words in 4 days. So 6,250 words a day. From Friday, beginning of the day Friday, till the end of the day Monday. And I will be helping to organize and manage that by running word sprints in 4 of the 3-hour blocks. So I'll be writing with other people, and the expectation is that over the course of the day, 6,250 is about 7 hours writing. And 3 of them, I'll be actually running word sprints. So not only will I be expected to oversee and manage and encourage everybody else who's writing, but I will be expecting myself to write along with them. And that's pretty motivating. That turns that introverted perspective, that inward-looking view into a party where we're all playing the game together. And so it might, in fact, be just exactly what I need in order to get this book done. And so what I'm doing is keeping that in mind. We'll see how that goes. But I had a couple of you say, well, just put it down and go do something else. And the answer is, I've tried that. I don't have to come back up to speed of this story yet again. This is like the fifth time that I have restarted Cape Grace. And while I know there are a lot of people who really don't give a good goddamn about the shaman's tales, I do. There, I said it. I want to see this done. I want to see this through. And then I want to go on and write the story about the barbarians. I want to go on and write the story about the Mongols with the serial numbers filed off. And we'll see what happens. After that, we'll see what happens. I've been toying with the idea of writing Malachi Vagrant story or three. I've got it in my head that one of the interesting questions is, what would have happened if Ishmael didn't get on the Loess? What would have happened if he'd been deported? What if it would happen if he had been one of the people who'd fallen through the cracks? And what about the guy who had the number one sponge? And why were there so many people? Looking for jobs on Breakall. What's going on with that? There is something going on with that, but what is it? So, telling those stories, going back to some of the roots of how do people react in adversity that is, to them, life-shattering, but doesn't involve global thermonuclear war? Go back to look at some of that stuff. Back to stories that matter for people who don't have thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, billions of dollars to throw at a problem. Who don't have agency. Who live in the interstices of society. Interstices. I think that's right. Anyway, I did it. I'm here. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.